Our reading today is one we've said before and one that is familiar to us. Let us say it together. Our Father in heaven, may your holy name be honoured. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen. So as a young adult, I read this book on prayer. It's called, by Richard Foster, and it's called Prayer, Finding the Heart's True Home. And I just thought I'd mention that today because what a beautiful title. Finding the heart's true home. The core of our being, our heart, biblically is not just our emotions, it's our will, our desires, our deepest thoughts and longings, the core of who we are, our soul, finds its true home in prayer, in coming to our Lord, in coming into relationship with the one who created and the one we're created to be in relationship with. Prayer is coming home. It's a coming home of our hearts to the one who created us. And as many of us know, sometimes we struggle with the time or the focus or the words, and we don't know quite what to do, or we feel we ought to, and somehow it gets missed sometimes. We know prayer is a coming home to our true home with the Lord. And sometimes we struggle. And this is not new. Jesus' disciples also knew this 2,000 years ago. And in Luke's Gospel, before the Lord's Prayer, they asked Jesus, Lord, teach us how to pray. They had seen something in Jesus and in his prayer life. They said, teach us how to pray. How should we pray? And this is the prayer that Jesus gave them. In this beautiful dynamic, but these are the words that Jesus has given us. God has given us these words in the scripture. And then they become our words and we give them to God. So God is helping us even as we are learning to pray. God is helping us to pray. So we're going to have a bit of time looking at this passage this morning, looking at prayer and what Jesus teaches us in the Lord's Prayer. Before we get going, a few things we notice about the context. And some of the team in the youth group have got really good when we look at a passage to ask, what is the context? An important question. So Jesus starts, whenever you pray. Which tells us Jesus assumed his disciples do pray. This is a normal part of life in following Jesus. And he gave two cautions. Do not be like the hypocrites. The hypocrites were actors. The word just means a play actor, someone who takes on a character that's not their own. The hypocrites love to stand and pray so they may be seen by others. They're all about their own attention and their own glory. They're not actually praying to give God glory. They're praying to get their own honour. Jesus said, instead, whenever you pray, go into your room, shut the door, pray to your Father in secret, and he will reward you. Jesus said, go to lengths to avoid this pattern. Go to lengths to avoid being seen, so you're not drawing attention to yourself, and instead, you just have one audience, your Heavenly Father. He is listening. You don't need anyone else. The second caution Jesus gives is do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, those who worshipped other gods or had other religions. For they think they will be heard because of their many words. Jesus said, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So again, there's a caution. These Gentiles, they're almost making prayer a work. It's an achievement. They're going to convince the God to do the thing that they want because they're saying lots and lots of words and lots of fancy words, and they're going on at their idea of God. Or they're trying to coerce God or control God, manipulate God into something. There are sort of two cautions here. One prayer is a work, and one prayer is a controlling of God. Jesus said, you can just pray simply. You don't need to do this. Your Father knows. You can just ask. Your Father desires good things for you. You don't have to twist his arm. Just ask simply. And yes, there is a mystery that we have a God who knows, and we ask both. And somehow in this mystery, God chooses to release power and to act as we invite him back into this world and we pray. But we get to ask simply. So those are a couple of cautions that Jesus is addressing in the background. We'll just notice them. And notice how Jesus responds to them as well in the prayer that he does give to his disciples. The prayer opens with the word, our. Have you noticed that before? It's not just my Father in heaven, it's our Father in heaven. When we pray, we're invited to pray together. When we follow Jesus, we are brought into a community. Jesus teaches his disciples to pray together. And then even when we do pray on our own, we remember those cautions before. It's not my personal God whom I can manipulate to my personal wishes. I have a unique relationship with God. Each of you has a unique relationship with God. God relates with you in a way that he relates with no one else on the earth and no one else who ever has been, because you're unique. He has a particular unique relationship with you. And that word our reminds us it's a unique relationship, but not an exclusive relationship. We can pray together. We pray to our Father. And then the second word, Father. We pray in the context of relationship, of a God, Jesus has already told us, who knows us and has a relationship to us like an ideal father, like a perfect father, who is caring and compassionate and understands us and wants the best for us and protects us and provides for us. This is the one to whom we're praying. And then in this first section of the prayer, Jesus gives us three requests. And I'm going to notice them. I've taken this phrasing from the Good News because I think it makes the phrasing really clear. We have three requests that orient us. Prayer is, like the title of this book, our heart's home. It's orienting our heart and making us at home with God. It's shaping us. As we pray, may your holy name be honoured. So it's our first request, may your holy name be honoured. A bit of a counter to those hypocrites who wanted the glory for themselves. Here Jesus starts, may your holy name be honoured. The third commandment in the Old Testament says that you shall not take the name of the Lord in vain, or you shall not take the name of the Lord unworthily. Now we normally translate that, and it has both senses, to mean speak. You shall not take by speaking the name of the Lord unworthily. But the word take, and I've left my backpack at the back, is the same word that you'd use to pick something up. Imagine me picking up my backpack. And carrying something, to take, to lift up, to carry, to bear. It's the same word. Do not bear the Lord's name unworthily. Do not carry the Lord's name unworthily. The people of ancient Israel were given God's name to say in prayer and worship, and they were given God's name to represent, to bear, to carry, because they were to represent God to the surrounding nations. So when we read, may your holy name be honoured, This is a request. We're asking God, may you be praised and worshipped, and may we honour you with our lives. It's both. We're asking God to be honoured generally, and that we would become part of that honouring. This is shaping us. Our Father in heaven, may your holy name be honoured. The second request is, may your kingdom come. And a kingdom is a place under the domain or the rule or authority of the king, a place and a people. If we ask God's kingdom to come, we're asking God's rule and authority to increase. Increase in the fullness of its expression, and increase in the breadth of its spread. May your kingdom come on this earth, around us, in our lives and around us. So once again, the question has two parts. We're asking God's reign to be established more fully around us, and asking, start with me. May your kingdom come in me. May I be increasingly subject to your authority in how I live. The third statement follows the same pattern. It's about God's will, his purposes and intent. We ask, may your will be done. May your will come about generally in this world, and we think of things we would pray in that regard. And may your will come about in me. May I be increasingly subject to your will. On earth as it is in heaven, here, around us, and amongst us, may this be like heaven, fully God's domain, where God's name is honoured and glorified, where God's kingdom is established and God's will is done. So pausing on the first half, can you see that this is giving us a bit of an antidote to the cautions Jesus gave? The hypocrites who wanted attention and glory for themselves. Jesus says, direct your prayers to God's attention and glory. The Gentiles who were controlling God or building their own empire about how they wanted things to be. Well, we want to bring God's kingdom. And then there's another section that's an antidote to the prayer. The way of making prayer a kind of a work, a task, heaping up all those empty phrases. And we see that in the next section, the next three questions. The first of these requests is a request for our practical needs to be met. And notice its simplicity. Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, supply us with what we need. Once again, there's an us in there. We can pray this ourselves and we can pray it together. Supply us with our practical needs. Let's notice that it's a daily request. Give us our daily bread. We are dependent on God for everything, for every breath that we take. And we depend on God. We can depend on God because he is dependable. We sometimes have obstacles to this as well, I think, to presenting our requests. Maybe we can feel inadequate. Or we might feel that presenting our requests is greedy or selfish. Or we feel we need to be lengthy to kind of do it properly. Well, remember, Jesus has already said this prayer is an antidote to those things. Jesus provides the adequacy. Jesus has given us words. We don't need to worry and we don't need to make lengthy prayers. We're in relationship with a Father who cares, and we can simply say what we need. The first half of this prayer is shaping our hearts and orienting us to God, and then we are free to bring our requests to God as well. Simultaneously, both things are at work. We bring our simple requests to the Lord. The next request is for forgiveness. We've asked for practical needs, and now we ask for some spiritual needs. Oops, sorry, I jumped ahead of myself. Again, there's the suggestion that as this is a daily prayer, this is to be a daily request. So sometimes people get a little confused on this, because when we give our lives to the Lord and ask for Him to forgive us, the Lord offers us justification. We are justified before the Lord. It's a fancy word from the book of Romans, and it means it's just as if I never sinned. God has forgiven us. We are righteous in the Lord's eyes. So some people say, so why then do we need to keep asking for forgiveness if we have holistically been forgiven and are right before the Lord? And then we have, the answer to that is the present tense of what's happening with our salvation. In the book of Romans, that's called sanctification. There's an ongoing process of deepening and developing our relationship with the Lord and being increasingly transformed into Christ-likeness. We have been forgiven. We are restored in our relationship with God. And we continue to ask that we be freed of sin and all the things that are wrong in our lives and oriented to the Lord and increasingly deepened in our relationship with the Lord. So we continue to pray this prayer, forgive us our debts. And this one has a second half, as we also have forgiven our debtors. We spoke on this about a month ago, and we said forgiving others, this is not earning our salvation by managing to forgive, but a picture that those who have received God's grace and forgiveness will naturally be giving some of that on. And there's a parable of the unforgiving servant in Matthew 18 that we mentioned a month ago. So part of this prayer is we recognise our forgiveness and the grace that is given to us, and we choose to pass that on. Then we have the third request, which is also a spiritual need. We pray for protection. There is a recognition that we can all be tempted. We can all get things wrong. We can all move away from the plans that God has for us or from the relationship and intimacy that God desires for us. So there is a request for protection. Please, Lord, do not let us sin. Do not let us do wrong things before you. Protect for us a healthy and flourishing relationship with you, God. May we bear your name well. Keep us from wrongdoing and keep us from the snares of evil or the evil one. There's a final request for protection and preservation of our relationship with God. So again, simple requests. Our Father already knows what we need and is able to provide. And we come to Him in relationship and ask. In looking at this prayer afresh for this sermon, I noticed a twofold dynamic. That prayer orients us to God, shaping the core of our being. We pray for His honour, His glory, His kingdom, the establishment of His ways, and for His will to be done generally and in our lives. Praying this shapes us. And as we're shaped in relationship with God, we bring our requests simply and humbly to God without hesitation. We don't have to worry about what we say, whether we get the right words. We don't have to spend ages on trying to figure it out, because there is holiness and there is grace. I almost summed this up, we come to God and God comes to us, although we know that God took the initiative in our relationship with God. God is first. But there's a mutual coming together in prayer. We come to God and bring our request. God is coming to us and shaping us and listening to us and deepening in relationship with us. And that the more that we are shaped and spend time with the Lord, the more we are emboldened to ask, because we know that our God loves us. And there's a simplicity with which we can pray. I am reminded of a verse from James. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. We see both of these things at work here. In prayer, the Lord is shaping us, and the Lord is listening to us. We are being shaped as we also ask God to shape our world. Jesus has been gracious to us in giving us the simplicity of this prayer. And that is one of the things that has impacted me. Those concerns that we might have, that we need to get it right, or to come up with lots of words, the invitation here is simple. We honour God, we bring our request to Him, we exist in relationship with Him. He already knows what we need, we don't have to bend His arm. We simply come to Him, expressing our needs and our concerns. In fact, it reminds me of one of my nephews when he was a little kid, about 6 or 7, and you might think he's a bit big at 6 or 7 for this, but he'd still do it. When he needed to, if his dad was sitting on the couch or sitting at the table or leaning forward, he'd just walk up and just push his dad back, climb onto the knees and get a cuddle. There was no hesitation. Just, I can come. I can just push my way up and climb on your knees and get the cuddle that I need. There was no pretentiousness, no greediness or demanding, just a simplicity of action. I'm welcome here. I can crawl onto my dad's knees and get the hug that I need. This is God's invitation to us in prayer. I'm going to give you a moment to look at that. What is the Spirit saying to you? What do you particularly notice in this prayer? What might you like to grow in? Just have a moment to notice. This is a prayer that we are invited to take together, pray together. So today I'm going to invite you, sometimes we've turned chairs around, we're not doing anything that elaborate today, just going to invite you with the 2 or 3 people around you, just to take a moment to pray, to spend some time in prayer together, bringing any requests to the Lord, and praying for God's kingdom to come.